Good morning. I'm happy to say the Jamaica Mission team had a safe trip back and a wonderful, wonderful time, and we're excited this morning to share it with you. So I'm glad you're here to share with us. So we have a few announcements. Melissa?
Good morning. If you are interested in becoming or a member of Gates Presbyterian Church, or you're already a member and wondering what that means, yeah, everyone is welcome this afternoon in the Adult Lounge from 1 to 3. Our new members class will meet then. And I have a favor of someone, anyone, who likes to bake bread. I need a loaf of bread for worship next week, and if you would volunteer to do that, please see me after service. Thank you.
I have several announcements. First, in addition to leading worship, the Jamaican Mission team will be leading their second hour program. So please join them in the Adult Lounge after worship. It's always a wonderful program. Also, on April 1st, Palm Sunday, we're going to be discussing the book Heaven is for Real by Todd Burpo. It's about his son Colton's trip to heaven and back when Colton was very sick as a young child. It's a wonderful book. And then my last announcement, just a minute. Okay. This is Melissa F. Orthot, a.k.a. Scoop, reporting for the Chicago Trumpet. The year is 1928. A crime has been committed in Chicago's notorious criminal underground. The district attorney's investigation has stalled, and he needs your help to solve it. Meet at the Speakeasy, a.k.a. Fellowship Hall, on March 17th at 6:30. A reward is being offered. A heavenly reward for anyone who has information, because the district attorney has vowed that all proceeds will benefit GPC's Guatemalan mission. The tickets are $10 and are available today after worship in Fellowship Hall. This is Scoop for the Chicago Trumpet signing off.
I encourage everybody to come down to the Fellowship Hall for a coffee, punch, cookies, and before you go listen to the mission trip, have your coffee and punch. Thanks.
And I'd also like to announce that the introit is not One Love, but Lean on Me. So let us prepare ourselves for worship.
Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain, we all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know that there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Please swallow your pride if I have things you need to borrow. Those of your needs that you don't let show. So just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'd understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. So just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'd understand. We all need somebody to lean on. If there is a load you have to bear that you can't carry, I'm right up the road. I'll share your load if you just call me. Call me if you need a friend, call me. Call me if you need a friend, call me. Call me, call me, call me, call me.
Please stand, if able, for the call to worship. God calls us beyond the gates of familiarity and comfort. The place we travel is holy ground. The presence of God goes with us and remains with us. Let us worship the ever-present God, Creator of all. Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin. Creator God, we confess that sometimes we would rather remain in the safety of uniformity than explore the beauty of diversity. We do not enter your gates with thanksgiving, but instead keep our gates latched by fear. We are renewed by your bread and your cup, but we forget to share that renewal with your people. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Amen.
Invite the children to come forward.
Hi, guys. So we all went to Jamaica last week. Jamaica's very different than our country. Anyone been to Jamaica? Samantha? There's a lot of beaches everywhere, but it's all covered there.
We have a story.
We have a story to read you. It is called A Wonderful World. I see trees of green.
Red roses, too.
I see them bloom.
For me and you.
And I think to myself,
what a wonderful world.
I see skies of blue
and clouds of white.
The bright, blessed day.
The dark, sacred night.
And I think to myself,
what a wonderful world.
The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky,
are also on the faces of people going by.
I see myself shaking hands, saying, how do you do?
They're really saying, I love you.
I hear babies cry.
I watch them grow.
They'll learn much more
than I'll ever know.
And I think to myself,
What a wonderful world.
Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
The end.
Sometimes it's scary to go to places that are so different from our homes. But we learned in Jamaica that people are friendly and nice all over the place. And that although there are many differences, there are also many things that we both share, such as...
There are a lot of dogs everywhere. Everyone likes dogs. They eat lots of bones there. Kind of gross.
The children in Jamaica, they like to blow bubbles too.
And all of God's children are loved all over the world.
God, children cry when they're sad and laugh when they're happy, just like we do.
Let's say a prayer together. Ready? Thank you, God,
for creating such a wonderful world.
Thank you for creating so many different things.
And thank you for creating us. Amen.
You guys can go to your classes.
First reading of the word today is from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
The second reading this morning is from Acts 16. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. In the second reading of the word this morning, Timothy and Paul decide to step outside of the city gates of Philippi and search for a quiet spot by the river in order to pray. My guess is that they had no idea that their prayer would have two arms, two legs, and be a successful store owner named Lydia. But that's what happened. Their prayer by the river became a holy conversation. Lydia learned about Jesus, was baptized, and consequently invited Timothy and Paul to her home. God had a hand in that afternoon's encounter. On February the 18th, 12 GPCers left all that was familiar and comfortable to, like Paul and Timothy, journey outside the gate. Well, that is the Rochester International Airport Gate A9. I don't think any of us realized how many holy conversations were in front of us. How we would be transformed by the people-to-people sharing of cultures. Like Paul and Timothy, we experienced the unexpected outside the gate. Jamaica Mission Trip 2012 was very different from Jamaica trips in the past. We didn't do heavy-duty manual labor. Sledgehammers were not slung. Fence holes not dug, earth not moved. Oh, don't get me wrong. We did use our muscles. We painted, we cleaned, and we cooked. But instead of the wow, look at what we did kind of trip, it was more of a wow, listen to what we learned kind of trip. We had amazing opportunities to hear firsthand about the challenges of poverty while learning about a culture that is rich with African tradition. And if I might for one moment brag on this group of mission travelers, I'd like to. For they enthusiastically seized these opportunities, even when it meant shaking a tambourine to the beat of Jamaican chants in worship, participating in African dance in front of Jamaican peers, singing a solo in order to share some of our own culture, talking in front of a class of Jamaican high school students, and listening intently to a Jamaican sage talk for 2 hours while we were sitting on very hard wooden chairs. And on and on and on the experiences came before us. Yes, our story this year is a little different from past years, and we're eager to share the holy moments of venturing outside the gates of comfort, of engaging in conversations with those we met, and of welcoming the gracious hospitality of the Jamaican people. And in the midst of all of this, outside the gate, we indeed experienced God. Adam?
Good morning. As we hear in the reading, we have to open the gates to discover new ways of thinking and see how others live. For me, opening the gates started on Sunday at the Green Island church service. When we were warned church might last over 3 hours, I couldn't imagine what we'd be doing. That is until we started service and people would just randomly stand up and say a prayer, and then we'd go right into song. And even if you didn't know the words, you'd start humming, grab a tambourine, start tapping along, and just get really into the spirit. On Monday, we went to HEI, the Hanover Educational Institute, where we interacted with students by sharing what our cultures were about. When we first got into our groups, everyone was just really staring at each other, didn't know what to do. So I started out the conversation, "What do you want to do? Where are your goals?" And surprisingly, they really opened up. The three Jamaicans that I was grouped with, the one guy wanted to be an engineer, the other a firefighter, and the girl a midwife. Later on in the week, on Wednesday, we started our journey at a Catholic church service, their Ash Wednesday service, where when I was in line going up to get our ashes, I was saying, okay, they're just going to get like a finger and do the cross. When I got up there, he went in with his whole hand and went right over my whole face. After that, we went to a Rastafarian house, where we learned about the Rasta religion. Going into this, we had some stereotypes of what the religion was about. But when talking to the man, we really learned that they were not true. And the one thing that he said when he built his house is he put the gate up first. And that really showed that he wanted a good spirit where his house was, and it really was true. Throughout this whole week, I had new experiences happen that I could never imagine that they would. So next time I go out and have some stereotypes about somebody or think about something, I'm going to open my gate and try to look past that. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. Well, today I'm going to talk to you guys about faith. Now, all you might ask yourself, you may say, well, what does faith have to do with the Jamaica mission trip? And I'll get to that later. But, I think the theme of our mission trip was to go outside the gates, to leave your comfort zone. Every person has their own comfort zone. They have a place where they feel that they can just be themselves. And really, in this trip, it really took a leap of faith to step outside our zone, get to know new things, get to see new people. An example of how I stepped outside my comfort zone was, for me, if you know me, I'm a really picky eater. And there's some weird foods in Jamaica. So when I first got a plate and it was full of some fruits I'd never seen and some vegetables I'd never seen, I was like, okay, maybe not want to try this. But then, just because it's I guess it's rude down there if you don't eat the food you're given, so I tried it and I ended up liking it. So, I mean, another way that I think I stepped outside the gate was really opening up to people. People are a lot more friendly down there. If you go up to someone, it's a lot easier to start a conversation. I mean, if you're here and you try to start a conversation with someone you don't know, it's a little awkward. But most of those people, they just, you know, they love to talk to you, they love to get to know you, and you share your culture with them. I think this really was present when we went to the Hanover Institute with all the high school kids, because when a bunch of 17-year-olds are around each other, it's kind of little awkward if we don't know each other. So we really we got into smaller groups and we really talked about, they shared their culture with us, but unfortunately we didn't really prepare anything. Let's see. Okay, well, thank you.
Weeks ago, as I was getting ready to leave for Jamaica, I was really, really nervous. I was going to a different country with a totally different lifestyle. I was going to be away from home for 9 days. I would be riding in an airplane for the first time. The night before we left, as I tried to pack and finish as much homework as I could, I was almost wishing I wasn't going. I was stressed out and anxious, like usual, and I had no idea what to expect. I knew that my week in Jamaica was going to be a major change from my life here at home, and I also knew I was the type of person who doesn't adapt well to change. Once we got to Jamaica, though, I found out I was wrong. Within the first few days, I was already comfortable with the different pace and atmosphere of Jamaica. It turns out I'm not the type of person who can't deal with change. I'm the type of person, like a lot of people, who's just afraid to take that first step out of what I know and what I'm comfortable with. I was afraid to step through the gate. One of the biggest things I learned in Jamaica is that people there really aren't much different from people here. Over the course of the week, we met so many fascinating people. One of our work days, we went to Hanover Educational Institute, where we talked to students only a little older than us about things ranging from music to geography to our hopes for the future. Despite our different backgrounds, our group and the students there were able to laugh with each other, connect with each other, and learn from each other. On another day, we went to the Green Island Basic School and repainted their playhouse. Playing with the kids there reminded me a lot of teaching Sunday school here. The kids are just as energetic and excitable and have just as much trouble sitting still and quiet when I read them a story. Even Janoy, the man whose house we went to learn about the Rastafarian movement, and the person I would never think I could relate to, held some religious and spiritual beliefs surprisingly similar to my own. I think God was there in every person I met in Jamaica, even though how they live, how they look, and how they speak is so different from me. And I would like to thank Carol Ann, the advisors, and the congregation for giving me this amazing opportunity to learn that. It was really hard to get on the plane to leave Jamaica on Sunday. I don't think I've ever been as relaxed as I was there, and I probably won't be again for a long time. Sorry, Mom and Dad. I already missed the warm weather and the delicious food. Most of all, I miss meeting new people who all have something to teach me, not only about their lives and their culture, but about myself and my life. The hardest part of my journey, and any journey, was the beginning and the end. That first step out of the gate, and that last step back home when it's all over. But after that last step, I didn't close the gate behind me. I'm leaving the gate and my mind open. I hope that in the future, the open gate and the memory of past adventures will call me away from what is safe and familiar and pull me into all the possibilities and learning opportunities in the world around me.
Hi, everybody. My name's Carolyn, if you don't know me already. I've kind of been bumping around this church for a few years now, waiting my turn for what seemed like a lifetime, probably because it was, to go to Jamaica like the big kids and go change the world. I think it's only fair to start out my sermon by thanking all of you, because it's thanks to all of you that I even had the amazing opportunity to go to Jamaica. First off, it was an experience like nothing else. I saw things that I didn't know were possible in this day and age that offended my very Western sensibilities. Dogs are supposed to be kept as pets in the home and they're friends for life, but not in Jamaica. Hospitals are nearby and doctors are always there when you need them, but not in Jamaica. Illicit drugs are sold and consumed behind closed doors for fear of legal repercussions. Well, I think you can guess the ending to that sentence. It was amazing, a totally foreign place where I was the outlier rather than the average. I felt like a stranger in a stranger land, and I loved every second of it. I was an American kid teaching duck, duck, goose to Jamaican children. Kids who had no idea what a goose was. I saw amazing things happen, but the most amazing was their reverence for religion. No, it wasn't religion, it was spirituality for a meaning and a purpose in life. I was a Presbyterian kid working alongside Mormon missionaries in a Catholic soup kitchen. I was a skeptic student of science listening to a Buddhist describe the pseudo-crystal-based mysticism by which she swore. I was the clean-cut All-American listening to a man describe his life as a dreadlocked Rastafarian. We talked like individuals. It didn't matter who I was, who they were, and most importantly, who they prayed to and paid homage to at the end of the day before they drifted off to sleep. We were people who believed in something, be it humanity or infinity, people who could talk like equals without pretension, because that's what we were, equals, in the eyes of our boss man, so to speak, because that's what we all are anyway, equals in the eyes of God. I'm not better than someone else because I'm a Presbyterian. I'm not better than anyone else of any faith, any race, gender, creed, or sexual orientation. As it says in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one, and I saw that on my mission trip. I saw God in everyone, and I loved that. I couldn't imagine anything more spiritual, more moving, and more profound than that. We can't all feel the same thing. We're all different people. But if someone can connect with God in a different way, on a different path, through a different religion, with a different name, then be my guest. We're all different people, being different in our nature, in our very DNA. God knows that, and he lets us all love him in different ways. So if you want to pray facing Mecca, or meditate on life, burn incense, or wear funny-looking underwear, calling out to you Mormons, then go ahead. I'll sit here eating my soggy grape juice bread and smile at the fact that I'm not alone. None of us are. Because God loves us so much, he'll wear different faces just so everyone can understand and love him. And that's what I learned in Jamaica.
Amen.
Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. People will come from east and west, and north and south, and sit at table in the kingdom of God. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust in him to share the feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it. He gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Give thanks to God, for God is good.
His love is everlasting.
Holy Lord, everlasting God, we thank you for the power which brought our Lord Jesus from death to life, and which is promised to us who believe in him. We need not hide ourselves from you, before whose justice no one can stand. Your mercy was proclaimed by the apostles and the prophets and shown forth to us in Jesus Christ. You give your law to guide us, and you promise new life for all, that we may live to serve you among our neighbors in all we do and say. Great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Your ways are just and true. With people of faith from all times and all places, we lift our hearts in joyful praise, for you alone are holy.
God.
Okay.
Holy God, we thank you for your Son Jesus, who lived with us sharing joy and sorrow. He told your story, healed the sick, and was a friend to sinners. Obeying you, he took up his cross and was murdered by people he loved. We praise you that he is not dead, but is risen to rule the world, and that he is still the friend of sinners. We trust him to overcome every power to hurt or divide us, so that when you bring in your promised kingdom, we will celebrate victory with him.
Remember our very little, Lord Jesus. We break bread, share a cup.
Great God, give your Holy Spirit in the breaking of bread, so that we may be drawn together and joined to Christ the Lord, receive new life, and remain his glad and faithful people until we feast with him in glory.
O God, who called us from death to life,
we give ourselves to you, and with the church of all ages, we thank you for your saving love,
Jesus Christ. Amen. On the night of his arrest, Jesus shared a meal with his disciples. And at that meal, after giving thanks, he took the bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat, remembering me."
We cannot live by bread alone. And so he took the cup as he did the bread, and he poured it, so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it with us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith you don't even know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you and sustain you. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." So we break bread and we drink the cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the promise of new life and hope and faith made new. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me shall never hunger. Whoever trusts in me shall never thirst. Eat, remembering me. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Drink, remembering me. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for the holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concerns.
Adam Switzer. As part of the youth program, it's an honor to be part of it, and it wouldn't be possible without Carol Ann, so I think we all need to give Carol Ann a round of applause for all the work she does.
And I say once again, it's the best job in the whole wide world.
Kyle Miller. I'd like to ask for prayers for my papa, who's dealing with some health issues right now. Thank you.
Chris Thornton, prayers for my dad, who fell and broke his femur 2 days ago. He's got surgery tomorrow.
Prayers.
Hello, I'm Penny Ritz. My brother has been diagnosed with cancer and is having surgery next week. So we would appreciate all your prayers.
Tracy Berkovich, like prayers for my sister-in-law Linda and sister-in-law Margaret. As you remember, Linda's husband died just 4 short months ago. She's since packed up her belongings, sold her house, and is moving back, and they are en route right now, probably arriving tomorrow. It'll be a joy to have her home, but of course, you know, we still miss Ted and the reasons for her moving and all that she's gone through in a short period of time.
Sherry, now, there were, I'm not sure if anyone heard, 3 girls who were killed in an accident on their way home from college in Bowling Green, and my nephew witnessed the entire accident. So not only for the families of those poor girls, but for all those who are traveling on spring break and for all the families.
Amen.
Bridget Wohlers, I have 2 prayer requests, one for my sister-in-law, Terry, Scott's sister. They lost their mother-in-law this week. And you know, we've all just been through this in our family. And also, a dear friend of mine who has a young relative in their 20s, been sick since Christmas, still don't know what's wrong, and having more tests this week. Thanks.
Allison Tuttle. I have a very good friend of mine, and he witnessed a very tragic accident off last week, and he went to the hospital, but he's okay now, but prayers for him and his family.
Joy. Friday morning, we had a little girl, a granddaughter, number 7th grandchild, 4th granddaughter, 7 pounds, 9 ounces. Name's Gracie Kate, and she and Noah are doing great. So that's my joy. I got a couple sour notes. 2 friends. One's in his last moments. He's probably maybe gone today of cancer, and another one who's struggling with pancreatic cancer and struggling very hard. He belongs to Temple Beth. I told him I'd send up some Christian prayers for him, see if that helps. So, but Cy and George are their names. Please offer up some prayers, at least comfort for their families. Thank you.
And we celebrate that God hears all of our prayers. And we also share the joys and concerns from our children in Sunday school this morning from the 5th grade class, a joy of a mom's birthday, and a joy that an aunt and 2 cousins are visiting this weekend. And we pray for a sister's horse show today and prayers for a brother with pneumonia for his speedy recovery. And we have prayers that Aaliyah hopes that Carson feels better soon, and also that her friend Sarah feels better soon. And from Kellen, I hope I get to go to school this week, because I didn't feel well last week. We have prayers from the 1st and 2nd graders that a cousin and aunt have safe travels. Prayers for safe travels for grandmas and grandpas. Prayers of joy for new shoes. And a prayer remembering those who have passed on and gone to heaven. We have prayers for a musical this week, and also a prayer from the 6th graders for those who are suffering from the tornadoes and storms this week. God, hear our prayers.
Let us pray. God of all cultures and people, we celebrate the diversity of your creation. Its many lands and peoples, cultures and communities enrich our lives and push us beyond the gates of our own world. We give you thanks for the partnership between Gates Presbyterian and Green Island United Church. We rejoice that through our common ministry, we can share our faith, live out our commitment to justice, and seek your will for our lives. And we thank you for the safe return of our mission travelers and ask that you be with them as they process their experiences. We pray that you guide our congregation as we discern the next step of this mission partnership. Great God, as we explore our personal relationship with you during this time of Lent, give us the courage to engage with both the challenge and the comfort of the holy conversations we have with you and that we have with each other. Help us to embrace differences as creation wonders, to venture into newness with sacred awareness. And we pray for those in our lives going through difficult times. We ask that you hear now our silent prayers for them. And, O God, we come together now, seeking to be your disciples, praying the prayer that you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our gifts forward.
Let us pray. God of all people, we give you thanks for the many blessings of your creation. Enlighten us as to ways in which we can use our gifts to promote peace and justice in your world. Amen.